Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Growth Map: Economic Opportunity in the BRICS and Beyond is a work of global economic analysis by Jim O'Neill. The Goldman Sachs economist, best known for coining the BRIC acronym in 2001, the book revisits the original argument that Brazil, Russia, India, and China would become central drivers of world growth and would increasingly challenge the dominance of the traditional G7 economies. But, written after a decade in which the BRIC idea gained wide influence, it explains the reasoning behind the forecast, assesses how the four economies performed, and expands the discussion to other emerging economies with long-term potential. O'Neill presents the book as both a retrospective and a guide to a changing economic order. Its purpose is not simply to celebrate emerging markets, but to explain why population scale, productivity gains, urbanization, policy choices, and integration with global trade can alter the distribution of economic power. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the BRIC thesis as a challenge to G7-centered economic thinking. The central idea of the growth map is that the world economy can no longer be understood mainly through the lens of the United States, Western Europe, and Japan. O'Neill argues that Brazil, Russia, India, and China possessed combinations of size, resources, labor force potential, and reform momentum that made them capable of reshaping global output over several decades. The importance of the BRIC thesis lies not only in the prediction of rapid growth, but in its challenge to inherited assumptions about economic hierarchy. In the older model, emerging economies were often treated as peripheral suppliers, investment destinations, or crisis risks. O'Neill reframes them as structural sources of demand, capital formation, geopolitical influence, and institutional pressure. The book explains that this shift is gradual. Rather than sudden, the BRICS do not simply replace the G7 overnight, but their rising share of global GDP changes corporate strategy, trade patterns, commodity demand, and diplomatic bargaining. By revisiting the first decade after the acronym was created, O'Neill shows why the term became influential beyond finance. It gave policymakers, investors, and business leaders a simple framework for recognizing that economic gravity was moving south and east. Secondly, why scale, demographics, and productivity matter more than market labels? O'Neill distinguishes the BRIC idea from a loose enthusiasm for emerging markets by emphasizing measurable growth drivers. The book highlights that large populations matter when they are combined with rising productivity, urbanization, education, investment, and policy improvement. China and India, for example, are significant not merely because they are populous, but because even modest gains in output per person can produce enormous changes in total economic size. Brazil and Russia illustrate a different dimension where resource endowments, domestic markets, and changing macroeconomic management can increase global relevance. This reasoning is important because it avoids treating all developing economies as interchangeable. A country with a small population may grow quickly, yet still have limited global impact. While a very large country can transform the world economy if it sustains moderate growth over a long period, O'Neill also stresses that forecasts are conditional. Demographic advantage alone is insufficient if governments fail to support trade, investment, legal stability, infrastructure, and openness. The growth map, therefore, presents growth as the result of interaction between structural potential and policy performance. Its analytical value comes from showing why investors and policymakers should examine both the size of an opportunity and the mechanisms that allow that opportunity to be realized. Thirdly, from BRICS to growth markets and the next 11, a major contribution of the book is its move beyond the original BRIC framework. O'Neill introduces the broader category of growth markets and discusses the next 11, a group that includes Bangladesh, Egypt, Indonesia, Iran, Mexico, Nigeria, Pakistan, the Philippines, South Korea, Turkey, and Vietnam. The point is not that every one of these economies will reproduce the BRIC experience, but that several had the scale and conditions to become more important contributors to global growth. This expansion matters because it prevents the BRIC acronym from becoming a static label. O'Neill argues that economic maps must be updated as countries reform, urbanize, develop financial systems, and connect more deeply with global commerce. The growth markets concept also reflects a distinction between ordinary emerging markets and those large enough to influence the world economy if they improve their performance. The next 11 discussion is more exploratory than definitive, but it gives readers a practical framework for looking at future growth beyond familiar names. It also underlines the unevenness of development. Some countries may have demographic promise, but serious institutional, political, or infrastructure constraints. The book therefore encourages selective analysis rather than blanket optimism about all developing economies. Fourthly, global governance must adjust to the new distribution of economic weight. The growth map connects economic growth forecasts to questions of global governance. if the BRICS and other large emerging economies account for a rising share of global output. O'Neill argues that international institutions must reflect that reality more effectively. The book gives particular attention to the importance of the G20 as a more suitable forum than older groupings dominated by advanced economies. This argument follows directly from the book Economic Logic: Countries that contribute significantly to growth, trade, reserves, and financial stability cannot remain secondary participants in decisions about global coordination. O'Neill presents this as a practical necessity rather than a symbolic demand. Issues such as exchange rates, financial regulation, commodity markets, climate policy, and crisis response require participation from the economies that increasingly shape outcomes. At the same time, greater influence brings greater responsibility. The BRICS and other growth markets need to strengthen domestic institutions, engage constructively with globalization, and accept a role in maintaining global stability. The book is notable for linking investment-oriented analysis with geopolitical implications. It shows that the rise of emerging economies is not only a matter of portfolio allocation or export opportunity, but also a transformation in how global rules and responsibilities should be organized. Lastly, opportunities and limits in reading emerging market growth. Although O'Neill is broadly optimistic about the BRICS and related growth markets, the book does not imply that high growth is automatic or risk-free. Its framework points to both opportunity and vulnerability. Emerging economies may benefit from young populations, urban expansion, commodity demand, rising consumption, and improved macroeconomic management, but they also face problems such as inequality, weak institutions, infrastructure gaps, inflation pressures, political uncertainty, and dependence on external demand. The value of the book lies in treating these challenges as part of the growth analysis, rather than as reasons to dismiss the entire thesis. O'Neill argues that crises can sometimes produce reform by forcing governments and businesses to confront unsustainable practices. However, this does not mean every crisis is beneficial, or that all countries respond well. The practical lesson is that investors, firms, and policymakers should avoid both outdated pessimism and uncritical enthusiasm. Growth markets require close attention to policy direction, governance quality, openness, education, and financial development. The book also shows the limits of acronym-based thinking. A memorable label can focus attention, but real analysis must examine each country separately. Brazil, Russia, India, and China differ sharply in political systems, resource profiles, demographics, and reform paths, so their opportunities cannot be reduced to one uniform story. In conclusion, the growth map is best suited to readers who want a clear explanation of how emerging economies became central to debates about the future of global growth. It is especially useful for students of economics and international relations, investors seeking historical context for emerging market strategies, business leaders evaluating long-term demand, and policymakers interested in the institutional consequences of shifting economic power. Its practical benefit is that it offers a structured way to think about country potential not simply by current income level, but by population scale, productivity prospects, reform capacity, and integration with global markets. Its intellectual benefit is the connection it draws between macroeconomic forecasting and geopolitical change, or Termano. Compared with many books on globalization, The Growth Map stands out because its author was directly associated with one of the most influential economic frameworks of the early 21st century. Rather than offering a broad cultural narrative or a purely academic model, O'Neill explains the origins, uses, and limits of the BRIC concept from inside the world of applied global economics. The book is strongest as a concise map of changing economic weight and a guide to why emerging markets became impossible for governments, companies, and investors to treat as secondary. If you would like to support Jim O'Neill, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.